Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 45. Ya van rikaya ratam atma vishopakapam. Date grishista charanar charanaya nishitam. Jnanasinam chuta balo duhad asta shatru. Swananda tushta upashanta idam vijayat. Yavat, as long as Nrikaya, this uniform body, Ratam, considered to be a chariot, Atma, Vasha, dependent upon one's own control, Vikalpam, Vipakalpam, in which there are many other subordinate parts. Tete, one possesses. Vishista, Garishta, Charana, the lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors. Archanaya, by serving. Nishitam, sharpened. Jnanasina, that's too bright. Yes. Jnanasinam, the sword of or weapon of knowledge. Achyuta Bala, by the transcendental strength of Krishna. Dadat, hold, or holding. Ashta Shatru, until the enemy is defeated. Swananda Tushta, being fully satisfied by transcendental bliss. Upashantaha, the consciousness of being cleansed of all material contamination. Idam, this body. Vijayat, one should give up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh, one of the longest purports in this chapter, in this canto. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktvadeham punarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but obtains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20:17, Nrinam adyam subalam sudorabalam, plavam su kalpam guru karna daram, mayanukulena navasvataritam puman bhavab dim na taret saatmaha. The human form of body is the most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, Guru Karna Dharam, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nations. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nations. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Purport, the word here is Achyuta Bala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bish. One must first please his spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nations. One seriously desires to go back, return home, back to Godhead. One must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master, for thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy. And one also gets the grace of Krishna. Similarly, the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Thus, the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. After conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. Perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendently situated. Brahma Bhuta, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 18:54. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nishoshiti nakangshiti samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, and he becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge, as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhakti mama vijananti yavanyascha smitatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the state of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept the material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, "Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha." Yaktvadeham panarjanma naitima meti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. The word tatvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tatvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up the material body, his material body. It is said, Aruya Rikrichena Param Padam Tata Patantyadao Nadrita Yushmarangraha. One neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. One cannot become freed from the material clutches simply by knowledge. One, even if one obtains the stage of Brahmaparam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into the material bondage. The only assurance to come to this is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. When one is free from the activities of the material world, in summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service, attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achutabala Jnanasinim. The sword of knowledge is given by Krishna, and when one serves the Guru in Krishna, in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda, Rajendra Nandana say, Sachi Sutahaila say, Balaram Haila Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may easily take shelter of their lotus feet, especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yate chila hariname udarila. The weapon is Sankirtan Harinam. Thus one must accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mukunda Upanishad is said, Nainam Atma Balam Hina Labbo Na Cha Pramadat Tapaso Vap Yalingat Eter Upayar Ayedate Yastu Vidvams Tasyaisha Atma Vishite Brahma Dhamma. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayera Karuna Habe Vraje Radha Krishna Pave. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se Banda Nahi Yar Brita Janma Gelatar Vidya Kule Na Karibetar. If one has no connection with Nitai Balaram, and even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. One must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. So the translation. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one can then conquer the enemies mentioned above. This way, the devotee should be able to emerge into his own transcendental bliss, and he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nirupam asyeha tato palabhyate nantana chadir nachasam pratishta ashvatam virudam ashvatam enam subirudam mulam asanga shastrena jridena chidva tatak patam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatanani vartate buya tameva chadyam purusham prapadye Itak praviti prasrita purani. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment. Therefore, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything is extended from since time immemorial. Here the weapon is detachment, and in this verse the weapon is knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Or as Rupa Goswami says, anyabhilasita, anukulyena, no, that's not right either. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmanavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti udama. That's not right either. That nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagim uchite anasakta sivishayan itarham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagim uchite. To become attached to Krishna means to become detached from the material world. As long as one is not attached to Krishna, one will be influenced by the material energy, either for fruitive activities, material cultivation of knowledge through mental speculation, or to merge in Brahman. One will somehow or another be interested in sense gratification. To one degree or another, the more one advances in Krishna consciousness, then the less one will be influenced by material desires and material conceptions. Material world exists principally according to our conception in it. When we become aware of who we actually are and experience Krishna consciousness, then one will no longer be attracted to be put into illusion. We have to want to be an illusion in order to Krishna put us in illusion. But that's what we want, because we have no other engagement, higher engagement, and therefore naturally we keep on desiring to fulfill material desires. But it's explained here, that, or in this verse that I just read, that we have to cut down the root of illusion, the tree of illusion, because the material world as a whole is compared to a banyan tree, which has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. And that means that the material world is a reflection of the real tree. And as the real tree is situated in spiritual ecstasy, so the reflected tree is situated on material desire. But it's cut down, as explains in this verse, with knowledge and renunciation, which are sharpened by... The weapon is this detachment and renunciation, which are sharpened with knowledge and discrimination. That knowledge in itself will not help us unless it sharpens our detachment and our renunciation. Renunciation especially from the material concept of life, and attachment to the real conception of life, that we're Krishna's eternal servant. The more we give up our material conceptions and accept ourselves as Krishna's servant as in a practical way, otherwise it won't last very long, that attempt to become detached from the material energy and accept ourselves as Krishna's servant won't last very long, won't be sustainable, unless one gets a bona fide spiritual master and becomes a faithful servant of the instructions coming into simple succession. Getting a spiritual master does not mean just sitting in a fire sacrifice and throwing some grains in. Although that's a symbol of the acceptance of the path of surrender, at least. But unless one understands what the initiation means, then it has really no significance whatsoever. Just like if you got married and you have no idea what the duties of a husband or a wife are, then the marriage won't last very long. Marriage is the beginning of accepting the duties of that particular ashram, and one has to know what the duties are, otherwise how is it not possible to fulfill them? Similarly, unless one understands that one accepts the spiritual master to give one knowledge and discrimination, for what reason? In order to sharpen the weapon of detachment and renunciation. Detachment from our material concept of life, and the renunciation of the material concept of life, and the acceptance of the spiritual concept of life, that I am dasa, dasa, anudasa. Unless one comes to the platform of being the well-wisher of all living entities and working for their transcendental liberation, then one is still in the material concept of life. Even one merges and realizes that one is not the body, unless one can understand that he's Krishna's eternal servant and serve Krishna under the guidance of Krishna's representatives, then one will be subjected to the material influence again. As it says here, Arurukruchena parampadam tadaha padhanina nadrita yushmat angrayaha. So we're not just here to get knowledge, tell some stories or whatever, get everyone to laugh a little bit so they don't fall asleep. No, we're actually here, all of us, to get knowledge so we become detached from our material conceptions, which we've got used to. Material conceptions usually means we don't see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. We see them in relation to our sense gratification, which usually winds up to be, as Krishna says, Rin Vitya Udashina Madhyasa Dvesha Vandishu Sadushva Pitapapeshu Samabhudhir Vishishate. It begins with getting detached from this idea of gaining and losing something, which Krishna summarizes as Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakanshiti, no longer hankering and no longer lamenting. So how do we know? Oh, right now I'm not hankering and I'm not lamenting, so that means I'm perfect? No. Sarin mitya udashina madhyastadveshu bandishu. Sadushvapi chapapeshu samabhudir shishate. Person is said to be further advanced when he guards everyone, whether they be honest, well-wisher, friends and enemies, the indifferent and impartial, affectionate benefactors, the mediators, the envious, the friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, all with an equal mind. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. That's what it means. Samak ovidya vinaya sampane. Brahmani gavi hasine. See all living entities as spiritual beings just like we are, although maybe covered by different modes of nature. So rather than be envious of the modes of nature, that I like this mode, just like if one is in the mode of ignorance, all one's friends will probably be in the mode of ignorance also. And everyone else would be seen as inferior. And one is in the mode of passion, then all one's friends will generally be in the mode of passion too. And one will see everyone else as inferior. If one is in the mode of goodness, all one's friends will also be in the mode of goodness, and one will see everyone else as inferior. So this seeing everyone as better or inferior, this is all in the material existence. This attachment and aversion. But when one is the honest well-wisher, just like the six Goswamis, as it says, Krishna Kirtan Ganananak Taroparo, that Krishna Kirtan Ganananak Taroparo, Vivartano Pujito, Dira Dira Janat Priyo, Priyakaro. What's the next word? Anyhow, Dira Dira Priyakyo, Dira Dira Janat Karo Priyo. There were Dira both to the ruffians and to the Dira, those who were sober minded, and the Adira, the ruffians. They were dear to all of them because they treated everyone as a dear friend. So that's the platform we have to come to, but it's only possible if we engage in Krishna service to help both the dira and the adira become Krishna conscious. Only then Krishna will give us his mercy. So this knowledge, which is, and discrimination, should be utilized so that we become detached from our material concepts and we become attached to the concept that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant and it's our duty to help them become Krishna conscious. That we're supposed to act as instruments, representatives of Krishna, following the previous representatives of Krishna who have delivered the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver this world in the name of Krishna. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amar aga guruhana tari desh. Whoever we meet, we're supposed to help them become Krishna conscious. That's what it means to be guru. And that way we can deliver this world. We don't need a whole lot of so-called knowledge. If we can reach that conclusion that I'm going to serve the previous example and the instructions of the previous acharyas and try to work for everyone's spiritual benefit, their spiritual advancement, and my own spiritual advancement will be included, therefore, then one is actually has knowledge. And if use that, utilizes that knowledge with proper discrimination, seeing who's on what level, what medicine they need to make spiritual advancement, then naturally Krishna will give us real experience of Krishna consciousness and we'll actually get knowledge, real detachment from the material existence and we'll get real renunciation. We can renounce the material concept of life and therefore we'll become attached to Krishna and detached from material existence. When one is fully attached to Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, and is completely 24 hours a day merge in the ocean of transcendental ecstasy and remembering the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, then one is eligible to go back and join Krishna in his pastimes. As it says, Sankhya Purvaka Namagan Idgatibi Kolo Lanidrikito Nidrahara Viharakari Vijito Sankhyankhya Chino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmi Terama Durima Nandena Samohito Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. The six Goswamis, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nati B. They were always, every day they got up and they chanted their rounds. They came, they worshiped their deities, they wrote books about Krishna in a very regulated way. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nati B. Sankhya means to count. They actually had beads and they counted how many rounds they were chanting every day. Kololan Sankrikito Nidrahare Viharakari Vijito. And that way they conquered over eating and sleeping. They became detached and renounced eating and sleeping. How? Because they became enchanted with the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The wonderful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were enchanted by them, and they were engaged in them, and therefore they were able to chant their rounds nicely, and became detached from material existence, and entered fully into the spiritual existence. Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kololas Nidrita. What's that? Tyatva Tornama Shesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatu Chavan Budvadina Gunesha Ko Karunaya Kopi Nakanta Shito Kopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kolola Magna Moho Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. The six Goswamis, they gave up, they renounced, became detached. Tyaktva Deham Punar Tyatva Toranam Ashesha Mandalapati. They renounced their exalted material positions. Well, Raghunath Das Goswami was father and uncle were extremely wealthy. He was living like the king of heaven. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were big government officials in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. But they gave it up as tuchava, as insignificant. And they went to Vrindavan and they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched by the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They were so much merged in the identity of being simply the servant of Krishna that they enjoy transcendental pleasure at every moment. So that's what we have to do, is become the servant of the servant of Krishna, merge into Krishna's activities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service, and then our lives will become successful in material existence. Instead of being our reality, it will become just like a dream, and eventually even that will disappear. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, we have one question from Avadhuta Raidas. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. In the purport often is mentioned there is no use of cultivation of jnana. I guess Srila Prabhupada is referring to Brahma jnana. Or this also refers to cultivating of bhakti jnana when somebody does not have sufficient service to do?
Well, he's referring to simply jnana without vijnana. Knowledge of the fact that we're not this body without understanding who we are. It's good to know that we're not this body, but it's even better to know who we actually are. To know who we're not won't last. To know who we are will. So jnana has to be accompanied by vijnana. And that knowledge that not only we're not this body, but we're the eternal servant of the servant of Krishna. That's vijnana. Anything else? Yes.
One more from him. The conclusion of lecture is preaching is the only way. What will happen with those devotees who cannot? Is there any hope for them?
We pray for them. No, preaching means either telling about Krishna or making arrangements so that people can hear about Krishna. That's also preaching. It's all absolute. The person who is sweeping the floor is in the temple is on the same level as the devotee who is worshipping the deity. And if by sweeping the floor or doing the arti, one is remembering Krishna, then they both will attain perfection. So those were, anyone who's engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, either by preaching or organizing the preaching or providing the resources for the preaching or assisting the preaching, they're all will become Krishna conscious. We'll all get the same benefit. Yes.
I was just wondering, did you ever have any association with Jayananda Prabhu?
Yes, I did. I had quite a bit of association. He was my, for a while, he was my Sankirtan leader on one of the Radha Dhamma buses. I was with him quite a bit. And I traveled with him sometimes. Very sweet devotee. I remember when, I'll just say one pastime. He never wanted to be the leader. He was always telling me to be the leader.
But anyhow, that's how
it was. And one time, because I had my own party, I had a van, and we went out from the bus, and we would distribute books in different places. So one time I told Jayananda Prabhu, this is during Rath Yatra 1975, I believe, and Jayananda Prabhu, we had the Rath Yatra down New York. I forget the big name of the street, the big avenue. What's that?
Fifth Avenue,
yeah. And Jayananda was in ecstasy. But anyhow, when he came back, then he told me he was actually quite sick, that he had this problem with his lymph nodes and he didn't know what it was. So, of course, we recommended he go to the doctor. And he went to the doctor, he found out he had cancer. Anyhow, I had to leave because my car, my bandwidth, we had to go out and distribute books somewhere outside of New York. And I told Jayananda, you know, we were trying to install some speakers in our van so we can listen to some Prabhupada's lectures and music while we were traveling. I couldn't find anyone to do it. So then he got into a wheelie, because he couldn't walk. He was so sick. And he wheeled himself, this is like 2 blocks away where the cars were parked. He wheeled himself down there and he installed these speakers in the car, although he was so sick. And then he wheeled himself back to the temple. And somewhere in New York at that time. I forget where the name of the place. That big building. Oh, you had like five-story building or something.
In Brooklyn.
No, New York.
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan, yeah. In any case, then when he was getting sicker, he told me somehow or another by Krishna's mercy, now spontaneously, whenever he chanted Hare Krishna, he just remembered Krishna. So you could understand that Krishna had given him a lot of mercy and would continue to give him a lot of mercy in the future. I remember one time I was a temple president, and every year I was in Texas, the temple president of Texas. I was the temple president of all the temples in Texas one time or another. Houston twice, Dallas twice, Austin once, Texas. In any case, every year we went with a good number of devotees, we went to the Rath Yatra in San Francisco, which was like a huge drive. It was like incredible amount of time. You couldn't, 2 days of constant traveling, day and night, just to get to LA, and then another day of traveling to get to San Francisco. Anyway, it was an opportunity for me to see Prabhupada every time, because he was usually in LA first, and he went to San Francisco. And so since I was the temple president, I had the opportunity to get Prabhupada's darshan in his garden every night that I was there. I'd go in the morning walks with him. So one time Jai Tirtha Prabhu came up with the idea. Prabhupada was staying at Kesha Bharti Maharaj's apartment. He was a householder at that time. And Jai Tirtha Prabhu had the idea that we were going to give Prabhupada an abhishek, and all the temple presidents, which included me, was going to give donations to do different parts of the abhishek. So I pledged, it was a lot of money at that time. You know, Jai Tirtha, because he was the head of Spiritual Sky, pledged $500 to do to wash Prabhupada's feet. Someone else pledged money to dry them. I pledged money, Lakshmi, to fan Prabhupada with the peacock fan. And someone else paid some money to do it also. So we switched. In any case, we were doing the arti in the abhishek to Prabhupada, and Jayananda came in. And he sat down because he was working on the Rath Yatra carts. And he fell asleep, and someone tried to wake him up. And Prabhupada stopped the devotee who was trying to wake up Jayananda, and he said, "Don't wake him up. He's doing more service than all you. Just let him sleep." So, there's more to tell, but it will go too late. I'll just tell one more story. One time I was traveling with Jayananda Prabhu. I met him, actually. I had part of my bus, my party at that time. We met up with his. And he was always eating prasadam. He loved prasadam. He was always, every time I saw him, he offered me some samosas or something to eat. Didn't matter what time it was, day or night. He was really a prasadam devotee. Big devotee, Jayananda Prabhu. Big heart. And he told me he got arrested for shoplifting because he was so tight with his money, he never wanted to spend any money on himself whatsoever. He always wanted all the money to go for Krishna's service. So he was trying to shoplift some pants because he needed some pants, and he got arrested. So the police came and arrested him. They took him to jail, and they appeared before court. And the policeman arrested him, became so much attracted by Jayananda that he paid for the pants. So they let him go. So he's quite an exceptional devotee, Jayananda. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada also mentioned that it's for our advancement in Krishna consciousness that it's very important to get mercy from Nityananda. So what should we do to get his mercy?
Serve the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Lord Nityananda. Because Lord he's a representative of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda gives us the strength. We follow his instructions. Bolo Krishna, Vaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. Chant the holy name, worship Krishna, and follow his instructions. So we do that under the guidance of his representatives, then he'll give us all his mercy. All right. Kala Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.